One more test, test, 1, 2, 3. I received a Swiss Army knife, a hatchet, and a wrist rocket, like a high-powered slingshot, the kind you could kill a small woodland creature with. I want to become the type of man who would live and frame his life in a way that others may live. Welcome to the Form for Good podcast, a framework for men in search of meaning. This story that we live in is a strange kind of story in the sense that it's still being written. Things are unfolding as we go through our lives and live out each day. The story is still taking shape. Things are happening in real time. And so when I think about the fact that we have been given a role to play in the larger story and that we have an assignment, it's not the type of role like being cast for a movie where you receive the script ahead of time and you can practice your lines and figure out how you're going to respond in different situations. And then even once the camera is rolling, if you make a mistake or want to do something differently, you just cut and do another take. But the role that we've been given plays out more like reality TV or like improv comedy, where we are having to think on our feet and try to figure out how to respond and what to do and what to say as we are figuring out who we are and what our role is. And we're living with this sense of an unknown as to what the next moment brings. And yet we find ourselves needing to be able to respond well. To shift the metaphor here, think about military training. So I have a really good friend who's an active military, and one of his roles in the past has been to create and conduct training exercises. And he was explaining to me the idea of live fire training. And this is a concept that I was somewhat familiar with, but he fleshed things out for me. So imagine a scenario where you got guys crawling across the ground, faces in the mud, trying to stay as low as possible to avoid getting caught up in the canopy of barbed wire hanging just above. And actually over their heads, just a few feet above, is live ammunition, rounds of live bullets flying across the field. And you're fine as long as you stay low, but the moment you panic or stand up, you're stepping into the line of fire. And this is what life can feel like. You know, as I mentioned, we're trying to navigate who we are and why we're here and what our purpose is, and trying to live well and offer strength, all the while temptation and condemnation and just tragedy around us feels like bullets are flying as we're trying to learn how to live this life. And I used to think about this and wonder if maybe God made a miscalculation. Maybe there was a logistical error when he set up the universe. And that line of thinking never ends in a good place. But I had this scenario in mind where maybe we could just live in a bubble or some type of Gulf dome where we were sheltered from the weather and from outside interference. And we could just, you know, our training involved safety nets and rubber bullets. And we could just get to the point where we had mastered whatever it was we were supposed to learn, and then put us out into a real life scenario where we could be able to respond well and face those things, having already been trained. But I've actually come to believe that this type of thinking is flawed. There's an inherent misunderstanding here that training that is sheltered and detached from reality actually is really unhelpful. And to explain why, I want to offer one more story. A while back, I was able to take a couple of my sons and we were able to participate in a lesson held at a free session held at a Krav Maga studio. And some of you are probably familiar with what that is, but it's a form of martial arts that was developed in Israel. And it basically involves street fighting and self-defense and weapons defense. And one of the things we were working on in the class was how to disarm someone who draws a gun, right? How to stop an armed assailant. And so we partnered up and one partner's holding a rubber pistol and we learned the technique to neutralize the situation and remove the gun from their hand. And one of the instructions we were given right away was that once the exercise was complete, we were not to hand the weapon back to the assailant. Instead, we were supposed to put it on the ground so that they could bend down and pick it up, and then we could run the exercise again. And there was a very specific reason for this. The instructor told a story where there was an individual who had trained in this type of exercise and they had gotten in the habit, whether just through sloppiness or through lack of knowledge, gotten in the habit of just handing the gun back to their partner as they ran through and repeated the exercise. And this person eventually found themselves in a real life situation where someone pulled a weapon on them, and they were able to, the training kicked in and they were able to disarm the person. But then muscle memory came into play, and without any conscious thought, he turned and handed the weapon back to the aggressor, and things did not end well. And as I thought about this, I came to realize that the idea of training in such a way where the exercises that you're undergoing are connected as closely as possible to reality, and there's even some risk involved, and the scenarios are meant to put you in a place as though you're actually in the situation, there's actually a great deal of wisdom in that, so that when you find yourself in the situation, you're able to be in a place where you can respond. And any kind of training that is removing those elements actually ill-equips you to be able to face that. And it made me realize that God, in his wisdom and in his love, set up the universe the way he did on purpose. We're in live fire training because he loves us, because he wants to strengthen us, and he wants to grow us and to further prepare us to face the things that are going to come, and to be able to better face when the stakes get higher and the risk becomes greater. There's something developing in us because of this type of training that we're able to respond. So I just want to offer two thoughts in closing. As I was talking to my friend about this training analogy, he brought up something that was really helpful. There's a concept referred to as an index. And basically what it is any of the trainers, as these scenarios are playing out, can call an index. And the participants know that when they hear that, it means they can pause, they can let down their guard a little bit, they can set their weapons down, take off the gear, and there's going to be a moment there to just recuperate and to debrief the situation and figure out what's working and what to do differently. And I realized that God intends for us to live in a rhythm. It's not all combat all the time. Even though we're in this live fire training, he wants us to regularly pause, to take an index, to take time with him, to debrief, to talk to him, and to just receive from him before we re-engage and go back into battle. And the final thought is this. My friend explained that in any training scenario or in a real life situation, you're never going to send someone in alone. You're always going to be partnered up. And he said that they're never going to partner a newbie with a newbie, right? They're going to take a new person who's beginning their training and partner them with someone who's experienced, who has weathered some battles, who has had bullets come in their direction and has the life experience and the maturity to be able to respond. And that's who you're going to get partnered with. And we know that God didn't stay distant from our suffering or from our reality, but he came in the person of Jesus. And Jesus crawled through the mud, and he knows who we are, and he knows what it is like to live on this planet. And then when he returned to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to live in us and with us and to lead us and guide us and equip us so that we can face the things that come and do the things that God has called us to do and become the type of men that he has called us to be. And so we don't go alone, but we have one with us who is both able and willing to empower us to face whatever might come.